Welcome to GeekCast with your host, Todd Newton.
First of all, what made now the perfect time to release a live album?
There was really no timing involved, so to speak. It was just a document of what was going on in my band, which I thought was just so great, and I was enjoying it so much that I really wanted to have a proper document of the moment in time that was happening. And that was really it. I mean, I've done a live album before and it was good, but this time just magic was happening every single night, and you just never know when that magic is going to go away. So I wanted to get it down, immortalize it, and it's just been a joy. And now we're gonna kind of take that live album as a template and keep touring on it and building on it, and it's just something that myself and the band are really, really happy with.
Listening to the record, it really evokes memories of some of the landmark live albums from the 70s. Was that a conscious goal of yours?
Absolutely. I mean, if you say that makes me feel good. I mean, obviously the content of the music is a whole lot more modern, but the flow and the energy is definitely kind of a nod to all the records that I grew up with, and live albums were absolutely the shit when I grew up. I mean, I couldn't wait to go to the shows after hearing what was on those live albums. I mean, back then it was like Kiss Alive, The Ramones, UFO, Scorpions, Blue Oyster Cult, Foghat, Lynyrd Skynyrd. All those live albums were just so iconic. And really, I don't know, because I don't really know why, but I think it's probably because back in those days we didn't have YouTube or videos that you could see what was going on inside those concerts. It was like you listen to it on the record and there's a big mystery of what's going on in that venue, and it just seems so exciting. And so you just listen to those live albums over and over again, and there's a certain flow to them. There's a certain audience and band kind of ebb and flow and energy exchange that happened on those old school live albums that I really kept in mind when editing this new live album. And if it makes its way to your ears, then I'm very stoked about that.
Now, it has a very raw feel to me. Was that something that you purposely did, like avoiding overdubs, or?
Oh, yes. This time, my first live album, we did about 6 or 7 shows, and we recorded all of them, and we just put together the best performances. But this time was just one show. I got a great engineer, just threw up mics and rocked it. So the album was done literally in 2 hours. And it's raw, but it sounds really good because it was recorded properly. And, you know, there's some risk involved in that, but I knew going into it, if there was some kind of technical problem or there was a big train wreck on stage, we would have, you know, stopped it and done it again in front of the audience. But it was just another show, another great show in a line of shows that were all really good. We could have pretty much recorded any of them. But I wanted it to just really represent what you get in the actual show, and not you know, overdubbing was not really just because I wanted it to be true. It was because I'm pretty much lazy. And I couldn't imagine the kind of effort that it goes into to match the sounds from a live concert to a studio. I just don't have the energy to do that, and I'd rather just leave a little inaccuracies out there than try to go in there and polish something up.
Now, the White Worm video that's out there, taken from this record, is that a pretty accurate representation of what was going on?
That's exactly what was going on. A lot of that stuff was filmed by fans. So, you know, that we shot the video for real with a real director and all that stuff, but we also used fan footage that we collected, and the energy is just so real, and it just really feels like, you know, a day for us, and it really brings a smile to my face whenever I see that thing. It's one of my favorite videos that we've done, because literally there's no story, there's no outline, there's no nothing. It's just a bunch of guys having fun on stage and just kicking ass.
Is there a big difference for you and the band between like Japanese and U.S. audiences?
Because the audiences know me from different things. In the U.S., people know me from a lot of my previous work, and the people who've been following my solo career over the last 15 years. So they know me from that, but in Japan, they know me from those things, as well as a ton of television stuff. So there are a lot of people in Japan seeing me play live that really didn't know anything about me musically, and they're seeing what I do live, and they're seeing something new for the first time. So it's very interesting to get their reactions too.
For the uninitiated, who are you touring with, both on this record and in general? Is it the same group of people?
Oh yes, it's been the same band for almost 5 years now, and same band is on the live album, and we really just are having such a good time that's why we made the live album. So everybody's real proud of it, and it's the same band that you'll be seeing on tour.
Now, the set list differences, how different is what you will do on U.S. soil compared to what you're doing overseas?
Oh, it completely is different. Sometimes we do a similar set to what we're doing in America, also in Japan, but in Japan I also do a seasonal orchestral concert. Four times a year, every season, where I do orchestral arrangements of my songs. So I have a full band, and I also have strings and piano and guests of other musicians and cellos and violins and all that stuff. So I can do a lot more of my ballad type of material. But in the U.S., it's pretty much full-on balls out, aggressive stuff with a few moments of romantic blissfulness in the middle somewhere.
Being that you've had the success that you've had in Japan, is there a goal you're looking to achieve as far as domestic based success?
I just want to play for as many people as want to hear me play, you know, as long as there's a demand for that, I want to be there to play for those people, and hopefully play for some new people too, because you know, music is kind of hard to discover. It's hard to discover things sometimes because there's just so many different options. And so it takes a lot of hitting people over the head with your music before they find it. And so I've been cultivating other markets besides Japan, and U.S. is where I'm from, so I love playing there. And all the tours have been so well received, and audiences leave there super happy and super energized, and so do we. So as long as there's a demand for that, I'm going to be there to keep playing it, and hopefully play for more and more people over there.
Listening to the live record, there's an element of audience participation. How important is that to you as far as the essence of your live experience?
That's the most important thing. It's not a piano recital. It's not a recital of anything. It's a performance, and we want to get in there and rip people's throats out. We want to get them involved. We want to get them completely sucked into our world for about 2 hours, and so they don't have to think of all the normal crap that, you know, they're trying to get away from. That's why you go to a concert, because you're in this kind of 2 hour limbo of, you don't have to think about all of the ridiculous things on the news or any kind of personal problems. You just go there and absorb someone else's energy for a while, and that's what we're there to give, you know, that energy. You know, I remember getting that feeling when I used to go to a concert. It was like completely abandon all cares and just like get roped into what they were doing. And so that's what myself and my band are completely committed to doing, is giving you that time where you're in it, you're in the show, you're part of it. And if that comes through on the live album, that's great. And it really is a big part of our show.
Speaking as a fan, I've always found it great when a band can actually just immerse your entire sense of being in the music.
Oh, yes. I mean, I don't want people to be checking their phones or anything while we're playing. I mean, I don't want there to be a moment to breathe in there. I want people to just be slammed up against the wall and just really just get sucked into the music. And the way I remember it when I was, a kid going to concerts, you didn't want to leave. You just, when you started to feel the last songs were coming on, there was just like, oh no, that's the kind of energy that I want to give everybody.
At this point in your career, Marty, how are you preparing yourself for a show?
God, it's so easy with my band because we're just a bunch of pumped up individuals, and there's nothing that we like doing better than making music. And everybody says this, but when you're on tour, there's like 22 hours of nothing, and then the 2 hours that you're there for, And so by the time it's time for us to play, we are so already pumped up that we don't really need to do anything else. But we actually do this thing on stage. It kind of looks like a satanic ritual where you can see it for a second at the beginning of the White Worm video. We do this kind of like pep talk where most bands do this stuff behind stage or in the dressing room before the show, but we do it on stage in front of everybody so everybody can kind of get involved. But it's kind of like we pump each other up. We say these kind of secret code words in Japanese, actually, and it's almost like a football huddle, and it looks just whack, and that gets us pumped up too.
With the cultural differences between the two countries being what they are, how would you describe Mr. Heavy Metal and Rock Fujiyama to someone that's never seen it from the United States?
Those are some shows I did on TV a while ago, and people outside of Japan have discovered them on YouTube, and basically they were kind of comedies where we would kind of not make fun of, but kind of laugh with stereotypes of heavy metal and hard rock and loud music. And what we did a lot was we'd have Japanese celebrities come on the show, and they would, people you would never think are like closet metalheads. We'd have them talk about their, metal obsessions and hard rock dreams and stuff. And I would play guitar with those people, and I would do all these kind of comedy sketches with guitar. And sometimes we'd have rock musicians from America and Europe, and I think we had Andrew WK, we had Slayer, and I can't even remember now. We had a lot of American people come on, and I was the host of the show, and lots of guitar playing and lots of really strange guitar arrangements that was very, very challenging, actually. It looked like a lot of fun, and it was, but the preparation was absolutely insane. But it's a while ago, and it's kind of opened a world for me of doing a lot of other television in Japan, because both of those shows were pretty popular and went into several seasons and all that stuff. So that kind of got me on the track to do a lot more TV since then. Those were like the first big shows that I ever did.
Stay tuned for more Geekcasts from www.bigmusicgeek.com.